Communication Studio is brought to you by Cassie Contracts, the simple way to organize, understand, and stay on top of your agreements. Upload your contracts, get instant AI summaries, and never miss a renewal again. Visit CassieContracts.com and get clarity today.
From meetings to the stage, this is Communication Studio.
Welcome to Communication Studio with me, Mike Knotts. Have you ever noticed how communicating with different personalities feels a bit like trying to charge your phone with the wrong cable? It should work. You've plugged it in. You're pretty sure it's the right port, but nothing's happening and everyone's blaming the phone. Welcome back to Communication Studio. Today, we're talking about one of the biggest hidden forces in communication, personality. Not the social media quiz kind of personality. I'm talking about how you actually move through the world, how you personally recharge, how you process ideas, how you show up in conversations without even realizing it. Because here's the thing. We tend to assume that everyone communicates the way we do. If you think before you speak, you assume everyone else is playing a game of chess in their head too, thinking before they speak. If you speak to think, you like to speak your thoughts out loud, you assume everyone else is ready for the mental brainstorm tornado you're about to unleash. And then boom, misunderstanding straight away. So let me paint a picture. You're at a networking event. There's an extrovert standing there, absolutely thriving. This is their nectar. They absolutely love this. They've had three conversations at once and somehow collected seven LinkedIn connections without ever touching their phone. But across the room, there's an introvert standing by the snack table, quietly deciding whether it's more polite to leave now or wait until there's a natural lull where they can slip away. Now, both of these people can be great communicators, but they just have different batteries. Introverts recharge in calm, predictable spaces. Extroverts recharge in the middle of the dance floor of life. And ambiverts, they're out here switching modes like a shapeshifter, outgoing at 10 a.m., mysteriously vanished at 3 p.m. And when these personalities collide, whether that's at work, at home, in friendships, in meetings, hilarious and sometimes difficult things can happen. But the good news is this: none of these differences have to create friction. Once you understand what drives each style, communication gets smoother, funnier, more compassionate, and way less like you're dragging two mismatched puzzle pieces together, hoping they'll click. So today we're going to decode it all. How introverts and extroverts actually operate. Why some people need silence, other people need sound. Why some talk to plan and others plan to talk. And you'll see this a lot in different meetings you attend. And how you can translate between styles without changing who you are. So keep listening. You're about to understand the people in your life and maybe even yourself in a whole new way.
From meetings to the stage, this is Communication Studio.
So let's look at the inner battery. Let's start with something that instantly clears up about 70% of communication confusion. The inner battery. Because most of us walk around assuming everyone else's battery works like ours. And that's where the trouble begins. For introvert, the battery drains through stimulation. So more people, more noise, more interaction, the little red bar starts dropping. And we saw that a lot with, and we see that a lot today, with the question mark over hybrid working. Some people absolutely thrive being left at home, choosing to join Zoom or Teams calls, choosing to interact. That social battery is much easier to maintain because they're not being forced into situations so much. They've got a calendar, they know what's coming up. But when you're in the office, there's always a hubbub. There's always people coming up to you. There's unpredictability. And that is difficult, or often difficult, for more introverted people. It doesn't mean they don't like people. It just means that their system is running a few extra background apps, if you like. Now, for extroverts, it's the opposite. Interaction charges the battery. Being in the office, in the thick of it, in the hubbub, having people interrupt them, having unpredictability. Those conversations, ideas bouncing around, the energy in the room, that's them absolutely plugged in at the wall, constantly recharging. Now imagine these people entering the same situation like the office. Let's go back to our previous example and let's say it's a networking event. The extrovert walks in, instantly starts charging. There's great energy in here. They've got a drink in one hand, conversation in the other, and they're already scanning the room like, who's next? Who else can I talk to? Sometimes they're not even aware they're doing this, but they're thriving in this situation. They're smiling, they're listening, they're interacting, they're loving it. Now, across the room, the introvert has just stepped inside and their battery has just immediately gone from 100 to 78. Just the effort of being there. Just absorbing all of that stimulation at the same time. Now, they're also smiling. They're also listening. But internally, their system is already buffering, trying to absorb all of that unpredictability and chaos and noise. And this is where communication styles start to diverge. The extrovert tends to speak quickly, jump in early, fill silence without noticing it exists. Silence to an extrovert feels like a dead signal. The introvert, on the other hand, is more comfortable with pauses. They're processing, they're thinking, they're just taking their time, they're more considerate. They're thinking, what's the most useful thing to say here? Should I say anything? Is there nothing worthwhile to say? And by the time they're ready, the conversation's probably already moved on because all the extroverts are jumping in there quickly. And then they might think, oh, you know, why aren't you speaking? Why aren't you engaging? And the introvert might be thinking, well, why am I being talked at? God, do you ever stop talking? Neither of them are wrong. They're just running on completely different power sources. Now, here's something important. Volume and confidence are not the same thing. And silence is not the absence of ideas. In fact, pausing and considering and speaking later can often be a huge benefit that the introverts thrive from. And extroverts are thinking, oh, why can't I do that? Why can't I wait? I always just say things straight away. When you don't understand the battery, you can also start taking things personally. You think they're bored. They don't like me. Or on the flip side, you think, oh, they're just dominating the conversation all the time. Most of the time, none of that is true. So how do you enter a conversation in a way that respects both styles? If you're more extroverted, one of the kindest things you can do is slow the entry. Instead of launching straight into a story or a pitch, try a softer opener. Hey, how are you finding the event? And then, and this can be the tricky part, pause. The pause isn't dead air. It's an invitation. It gives space to breathe. It allows them to answer when they're ready and in their own way. It's not a difficult question. You're not making things awkward. It also shows you care. It shows you're engaging. It shows you're listening. If you're more introverted, you don't need to match somebody else's energy. Be comfortable with your own energy. But it can help if you can signal engagement early. For example, a simple nod, a short response, or even say something like, give me a second, I'm thinking. It tells the other person that you're in the conversation and you're not checked out. Now let's talk about energy collisions. An energy collision happens when an extrovert unknowingly overwhelms or an introvert unintentionally underresponds and both walk away slightly confused. So, if you believe you are more on the extrovert end of the spectrum. Watch for the signs of short answers, less eye contact. They might physically step back. That's not rejection. It's a battery warning light. It's too much. You just need to slow the pace down. You don't even have to end the conversation. Just slow it down. Have a pause. Food and drink are fantastic for these situations. Have a drink. Just stand there, scan the crowd if you're at an event. Have a look at what's happening. Check your phone, even though you don't, you know, it hasn't gone off. Just give that space if you notice any of those things, like short answers, less eye contact, or a physical step back. Conversely, introverts, if you feel yourself retreating, it's okay to name it. Hey, I'm really enjoying this. I just need a moment. I just need to check this. I just need to do this. Just give an indication that you're just stepping back for a second. You don't need to say, hey, I'm an introvert. I need a space, because that's probably going to create more awkwardness than solve anything. Also, very difficult for you to say. But just add something in to say, hey, I just give me a minute here. And here's the teaching point I want to land this segment of the podcast with. When you recognize somebody else's battery, you interpret their behavior more accurately. And once you stop misinterpreting their behavior, the communication is clearer and it gets easier. It's kinder and it's less exhausting. Because most communication problems aren't personality flaws. They're just power management issues.
You're listening to Communication Studio with Mike Knott.
So let's build on the battery idea, because once energy is flowing, the next thing that shapes communication is how people process ideas. And this is where a lot of perfectly smart people get unfair labels. You've probably seen this sort of situation play out in meetings. Somebody throws out an idea immediately, then another, the room is buzzing. Maybe there's two or three people battling this. Meanwhile, there's one or maybe two people who are quiet. And we quietly or not so quietly decide, hey, they're slow, they're not engaged, they don't have anything to add. But here's the truth, they might just be thinking first, not going to put themselves out there. And sometimes we misconstrue this as a lack of confidence. Sometimes it is, that's fine. But sometimes it's just them taking their time. And very broadly speaking, there are two common processing styles. Some people think, then they will consider, and then they will speak. Others speak, allow the room to consider, and then think. Neither is necessarily better. If you had a whole load of introverts and everyone was waiting for someone else, no one would ever speak. If you had a whole load of extroverts, you'd probably never process everything. So it's good to have that mix. They're just different routes and approaches to get to the same end point. The thinkers need internal clarity before they open their mouth. They're running the idea through a few mental drafts first. They're imagining saying it, imagine what people might react. Is it a good thing to say? Very cautious with every word they use. They want to say something useful, not just say something for the sake of it. The talkers, on the other hand, use conversation as the thinking space. The idea gets clearer as they say it. So they have to start speaking in order for that clarity to come. Some of what comes out is just half an idea, and that's on purpose. That's just their style. Now, if we put these two styles in the same meeting, you get some confusion, but you actually get a lot of benefits as well that you don't necessarily see. So as a fictional example, the talker jumps in early. They're brainstorming out loud. Ideas are coming fast. Not all of them polished. Some of them are terrible. Some of them are great. The thinker is listening carefully, connecting the dots, thinking that's not great because of this. That's probably going to come out in a second. This has some potential. Let me think this through. They're not ready to communicate that yet. They're processing it and thinking and seeing how it plays out. By the time it's ready in their brains, perhaps the conversation has moved on because some other talker has jumped in too early. And now the thinker is thinking, well, I missed my chance. I didn't say anything. I never had anything of value to actually say. It's the same meeting, two completely different experiences. And I'm sure you've been in meetings where there's the quiet person, the person who doesn't say much. Then there's also the people who always jump in at the beginning. You're like, God, you have to jump in so fast. do you always have to talk? It always has to be about you. And now maybe those people are starting to become a little bit clearer. Maybe you are thinking you are one of these two people. Are you somebody who throws your ideas out? And then, or are you somebody who sits and considers and sometimes misses their chance to say something and you wish you could do it differently? You wish you could just throw ideas out there, but it's just not you. Hopefully some of this is starting to make a little bit of sense. And this is where we need to kill the myth of the slow introvert and the rambling extrovert. Thinking silently isn't slow. Thinking out loud isn't careless. They're just different processing speeds on the surface. So how do we bridge the gap? If you're a talker, one powerful move is to label your process. Something as simple as, I'm just thinking out loud here. This definitely isn't the final version, but what about this? Because that throws an idea out. That's absolutely great. It gets everyone processing. The thinkers are now able to process that idea. You've not been too overpowering and you've got your idea out there. So it helps absolutely everybody. A second option, which you can do in combination, is to leave a deliberate pause after sharing. Not a rushed pause. Don't just take a breath and say, I've done a pause, let me move on. A real pause. Sometimes let it almost become awkward. Silence is really useful. If you don't have silence, the thinkers will never jump in unless they're prompted. And prompting them can be scary and make them retreat even further. So you say, hey, how about this idea? And then you pause and you wait. And that enables the quiet thinkers to jump in. And if you're a thinker, you can help the room by claiming the space early, even before your thought is fully formed. Something like, I've got something forming, just let me think it through. That way they know you're listening, they know you're engaged, particularly for remote meetings where they think you might just be switched off or typing on Slack or Teams. You can say, let me just think this through. I'm not fully there yet, but here's the direction I'm thinking. You don't need a perfect answer to enter the conversation, but a placeholder can be very, very useful and very impactful. Now, let's look beyond meetings. We've talked about meetings so far, but in relationships, this shows up as well. One person wants to talk now, the other wants to talk later. One person processes emotions by saying them out loud, the other needs time alone to understand what they even feel. Maybe you're in a relationship like this, because opposites do often attract. So if you, to put this as an example, they're avoiding me. They always avoid difficult situations like this. They're pushing me before I'm ready. I'm not ready to have this conversation yet. I don't know why they always have to push me. Sound familiar? So here's the thing. Good communication isn't about speed, it's about timing. So talkers, you need to try and meet in the middle. Slow down just enough. Give them space. Allow them to process their ideas. Don't just talk at them. It can come across as lecherous. It can make them shut down. Sometimes they might just concede the point just to make the conversation stop. It doesn't resolve the issue. And thinkers, make sure you step in just early enough so the conversation doesn't just feel one-sided. And then suddenly you'll notice ideas don't get lost. People don't feel talked over or ignored or like you don't care. And in the next segment, we'll look at what happens when these styles collide emotionally and how to handle conflict without anyone feeling steamrolled or shut down.
Level up your presentation game with Communication Studio.
So far, we've talked about energy, who charges where and processing, who thinks quietly and who thinks out loud. Most of the time, those differences are manageable, even helpful. But where they really start to matter is where emotions get involved. Because when there's pressure, disagreement, or frustration, we don't just communicate differently, we protect ourselves differently. And that's when perfectly reasonable personality differences can suddenly feel like personal attacks. So let's talk about what happens when these styles collide and how to handle conflict without anyone feeling steamrolled or shut down. Let's start with a very familiar scene. Two people, some good intentions, very different needs. It's the weekend. One person wants to talk things through right now. They want clarity, resolution, momentum. The other person wants space. Not because they don't care, but because their thoughts and emotions are tangled and they need quiet to sort them out. And instantly, stories form. The talk now person thinks, why are you shutting me out? The space first person thinks, why are you pushing me? No one is wrong, but both feel misunderstood. This is where personality differences stop being theoretical and start being emotional. Under stress, extroverted styles often move towards conversation. Talking reduces the pressure. Until they've got that out, they feel that pressure, they can't let it go. Introverted styles often move away from stimulation. Quiet reduces the pressure, maybe a nap, maybe they go for a walk, maybe they do another activity. So when conflict hits, they don't just disagree. Literally, both people head in opposite directions. And here's the mistake often made, not always. If you've nailed this, congratulations. We interpret behavior instead of intention. Silence gets labeled as avoidance. Urgency gets labeled as aggression. But most of the time, neither of those is true. So how do you communicate in these moments without escalating things? Let's start with introverted style boundaries. If you need space, disappearing completely leaves the other person filling in the blanks. And they will rarely fill them in kindly. Lots of assumptions will be made. Now, we all assume. You can't stop yourself assuming. It's just human nature. However, a lot of the time, assumptions are very bad for us. It's not a great human trait. You can't stop it, but always try to be aware of it. If you're making an assumption, try to label it in your head as saying, I am making an assumption here. And try and wait and talk that through. I've done this so many times. I've assumed, I've got it completely wrong, and I found that out afterwards. This could be in any aspect of my life. So, instead, try naming the need and the connection in a sentence. Look, I do care about this. I just need some time to think before we talk. That sentence does two things. It reassures them, I do care about this, and it sets the boundary. I need some time to think. Now, for the extroverted style reassurance, if you want to talk now, intensity can unintentionally feel like more pressure. So try separating urgency from importance. That this matters to me. We don't have to solve it all right now, but I do need to talk about it. That lowers the temperature without shutting the conversation down. Now let's zoom out for a second. Conflict isn't always loud. Sometimes it's one person talking more and more. And the other saying less and less, and you just start going in different directions. And that's a real-time energy mismatch. Extroverts, if you notice the room going quieter after you speak, pause. Long pause. Ask an open question and wait. Don't answer it yourself. Listening and space become really important in this moment. Physical space can make a huge difference as well. Introverts, if you feel yourself retreating, give a signal before you go quiet. Even something small like, I just need a second to process. Keeps that bridge intact. You're engaged, you're still involved in the conversation. You just need some time. And here's another important reframe. Silence doesn't mean disengagement. It means thinking. Volume, I could not mean this enough. Volume doesn't mean domination. So don't become louder and louder. I've seen particularly two males having a friendly debate and it gets louder and louder and then one stands up and then the other stands up. And I've watched this happen in a room and it's quite comical to watch. But obviously it doesn't actually solve anything. When we remember these things, conflict becomes a lot less personal and a lot more productive. Because at its core, conflict is usually just about communication. It's about understanding, hey, I feel this, or I thought you meant this, or I'm sorry that I did this, but I was doing this. You know, it's always something like that. You never usually have done something intentional. Obviously, those types of situations might be different. But where it's just like a misunderstanding or, oh, I thought you said this, and someone's annoyed because you didn't do something or you didn't pick them up at the right time because they misunderstood what you said. It's just a misunderstanding. It's just communication. So when we look at these conflicts, it's just different personalities clashing, and they don't need to clash. They can actually balance each other out. And that's what happens when you're getting on, right? You say, oh yeah, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't do this. Oh, I'm so glad you're here because you handled this situation really well. One person might be quick to have a go at someone, for example, complaining that something's happened. Another might take a calmer approach and maybe they get faster results, even though they're calmer and slower. And you'll have that in most relationships. One will be one type, one will be the other. You'll have the person who gets more annoyed more quickly, the other one who is a bit more laid back. And that's pretty normal, and that's a balance. But those come with these personality types that have that conflict as well. So the goal isn't to communicate the same way. It's not to try and change the other person. And this could be at work, at home, a hobby, anything. It's not to try and get people communicating like you. It's about understanding that different people communicate in different styles and communicating with translation. Try to recognize the battery of the person you're working with. Are they a talker? Are they a thinker? Both are right. Neither is better than the other. You'll probably think the way you do it is better. That's fine. But recognize the battery of the other person. Respect the processing and name what you need before frustration does it for you or before assumptions are made. And that's how connection survives disagreement. Final comment on this section. Think about your relationships. We've just had Christmas. No doubt at Christmas time or any other holiday, Thanksgiving and other holidays celebrated around the world and around the year, you'll meet up with family and maybe you'll meet up with them more often or for longer than you usually do. And that's where conflict arises, right? People start falling out. And usually it's just these mismatched communication styles. Someone is just so loud and doesn't stop. Oh my God, there's so much. And another person, well, they just barely spoke, did they? Just sat in the corner, didn't say anything, right? Again, sound familiar. So have a think about those in your life who you meet up with again in any situation in life and think, oh, actually, I didn't realize that person isn't actually detached or unengaged. Maybe they're just introverted. Maybe they just need time to process. Maybe they struggle with these long events because it's just a lot for them to take. And I should be more considerate of that. So when they want to leave early, maybe I should actually encourage that and help them with that because that's absolutely fine. And also, if you have someone who feeds off this energy, they need that in their life. They can't just sit there quietly. So try to give them that situation as well. Understand that they might be the talker. An example of this in a family environment could be adding more games. Games are something that an introvert can control. Maybe they can run the game, therefore there's not too much pressure for them to talk and interact. They're just running the game. And then the extrovert gets all that dopamine from being in part of the game, being able to talk and celebrate and laugh. It's little things like that that can really make a big difference.
Communication Studio, your guide to presentation success.
Now, before we wrap this up, there's one more piece that matters, because not everybody fits in neatly to the introvert or extrovert box. A lot of people are ambiverts or context shifters, which I quite like as a term. They're outgoing in meetings, but quiet at home. Confident presenting, but socially drained afterwards. I'm a self-confessed ambivert. Absolutely. People will think, oh, but you're so confident, Mike, and you can stand up on stage and talk and you can present in front of customers. And I think, yeah. Then I come home and I need to come home. And then I'll be quiet for the evening because I need to recharge. If I do a customer event and I'm out all day, I'm on. I thrive. I kind of enjoy that. But then the next 2 days, I'm absolutely exhausted. That's just me. I recognized that in myself a long time ago. I've always said, for example, I couldn't live in a city because I would need to escape from it. That's just who I am. I've never lived in a city. I travel to the city. I've traveled to many cities and I can do my work and enjoy that day, but then I need to come away and escape. And so that is something that I would say is definitely true about myself. And I'm outgoing in meetings, but I'm quiet at home. I'm confident presenting, but socially drained afterwards. Now, they're the people who hear this conversation and think, honestly, like, it depends. I'm introverted here, I'm extroverted there. And that's important because communication doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens in different contexts. And a quick side note here, when you train dogs, because I have experience in training dogs years ago, and dogs learn things in context. So you may have had a situation where your dog perfectly sits for their dinner in the kitchen and they'll sit and they'll wait, and you could do it as a trick, and they'll wait for 30 seconds wagging their tail hoping you put the bowl down, knowing they can't move until you say go. Then you try doing the same thing in the park to your friends and they just won't do it. And that's because they understand the context of learning it in the kitchen, but they haven't got the context of doing it in the park. Now, we are a bit different. You know, we can apply context much more easily, generally speaking. But when it comes to communication, actually, context does matter. So it could be the same person, but a different room and a different energy. And therefore, it's not consistent. So you think, how, oh, you were chatty yesterday. Why are you quiet today? Or you're usually so reserved. Why are you taking over? This is so unlike you. Oh, there's no way you're an introvert. You're so confident. But behavior shifts when context shifts. The time of the day, the group size, the pressure level, the familiarity. For me, sometimes the spontaneity can be a good thing. Sometimes I hate it. So let's say 15 people have gathered in my street. I don't really have a street, but if you follow my meaning. So, and I have to go out and speak to them. That would be terrifying for me. I would not enjoy that. I would overthink it and not want to do it. But I could walk into a room of 15 strangers and present to them for 2 hours, no questions asked. Doesn't make any sense, but it's the context. When I'm presenting, I have material. I know what I'm talking about. I know what the subject is. They're expecting me, and so I can turn up. Strangers outside, I don't know what they're thinking, what they're expecting. I don't know what's going to happen. So that is a completely different situation. It adds so much more pressure. It's unfamiliar. So it's much more difficult. And this is why good communicators don't just read personalities, they design conversations. They think about how many voices are in the room. How much time have people had to prepare? Is silence allowed or is it rushed? Are ideas expected immediately or refined later? What are we aiming for? What's the output here? So let's look at an example. Imagine taking a meeting where ideas are only ever asked for on the spot. Talkers will thrive. Thinkers will quietly store their best insights for later and possibly never share them. And an example here would be if you're on a Teams or a Zoom and there's some people who always have to put their ideas in the chat and they never say them out loud. And the talkers are going at it, and then usually the presenter will go, oh, I've missed the chat. What have we had in the chat? And all those ideas that have been thrown out there get said at the end, and they're sort of almost as an afterthought. Because the thinkers are quietly storing their best ideas. They might share them on the chat. They might just share them in a private message or just not share them at all. So those are missed. Now imagine the same meeting with a follow-up message. Send in the additional thoughts after you've had time to reflect. Same people, totally different results. That's conversation design. It allows both personalities to communicate in their own way. Now at home, it might look like saying, let's talk about this later tonight, not now in the doorway. At work, it might look like sharing an agenda in advance, given that preparation, that familiarity. In social situations, it might like choosing smaller groups over big ones, or even mixing it up. The point isn't to label yourself or others, it's to stay curious. Instead of thinking, oh, they're difficult, try what environment would this person be comfortable in to help them communicate best? What makes them uncomfortable? So when you're uncomfortable, you don't tend to communicate, or you don't tend to communicate very well. Once you stop forcing everyone into the same style, communication stops feeling like a performance, an energy, or something I have to do, or I'm going to be in front of the spotlight. And it starts feeling like a connection. So let's bring this home. If there's one idea to carry forward from this episode, it's this. Most communication problems aren't about intent. They're about interpretation. We often misread silence. We misread enthusiasm or engagement. We misread pace, volume, and timing. Often, simply because they are different to our own. And when we do, we invent stories or assumptions that simply aren't true. Introverts aren't disengaged. Extroverts aren't dominating. And ambiverts aren't inconsistent. They're just navigating energy and context and familiarity and comfort in different ways. The real skill, the one that changes relationships, meetings, and everyday conversations, is learning how to translate and understand rather than judge. So here's a simple experiment to try after this episode. Over the next 24, 48 hours, notice two people in your life. It could be your partner, your other half. It could be someone you work with. It could be a family member. Try one at home and one at work. Pay attention to how you think they recharge. How do they respond in meetings? How do they respond in team meetings? How do they respond to conflict? Has anything I said today made you think, oh yeah, they're like that? Do they use silence or do they use sound? Do they need to speak to people all the time, or are they quite happy retreating into their own bubble? Then try and take that into account and adjust how you communicate with them. Slow it down, leave space, or speak up earlier. Just small shifts, being aware of that. And it should make a big difference. Because when you understand the battery, the processing, and the context, communication stops feeling like guesswork. And it starts feeling human. Thanks for listening to Communication Studio. If this episode resonated, please share it with somebody who communicates differently from you. Get in touch with me and keep the conversation going.
This is Communication Studio.
This episode was sponsored by Cassie Contracts, your personal contract manager. Keep everything organized, secure, and easy to find. Try it at CassieContracts.com.